This week on RSBNB Update, it's Mental Health Awareness Week, and all of Solomon's counts for charitable donations, including the new retro gilded armor. We also discuss the new drop cleaners and why they should be added to Invention. Then we look back at the launch of Invention. This is RSBNB Update, episode 935, recorded Thursday, May 18th, 2023. The Tootie Clever. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for another episode of RSBNB Update. We're heading into another Double XP live period, 10 days of Double XP in RuneScape. So consider that your reminder if you're under the rock or you're just coming back to the podcast for a little bit. Double XP starts tomorrow, the 19th, at noon Jagex time, I believe. But, of course, Tanis, you're here as you are each and every week.
Thank you, Shane.
Also joining us this week is Thaxi. Welcome.
Good to be back, always.
And you're here because, in addition to, you know, going through patch notes, Mental Health Awareness Week, and a new retro cosmetic, we're going to be resuming our Then and Now collection of episodes, this time having a look at Invention. And for anybody who's unaware, Then and Now is a part of the show where we go back in time and we look at how an update has grown into RuneScape and how we would be covering it today if we were covering it on the podcast, because a number of years back, we've been here for a long time, we've talked about a lot of updates, but we didn't necessarily have the full breadth of our production team behind it, and sometimes updates just change, and Invention's a really good one to talk about with that, going back to January 2016 on that one. Hard to believe that Invention's been in the game that long.
More than 8 years? It's nuts.
You can't do math. That's 7 years. It's 2023.
Oh, that's fine. I never claimed to be good at math. Oh, wait. Anywho. Yeah, we spent a lot of time brainstorming what we're going to talk about on the show and what things to look at, and we knew we wanted to do some kind of Then and Nows on stuff, and, you know, with Necromancy coming up, it seems like a good time to come back to some of the other skills that they have released that are obviously, like, you know, different skills in a number of ways, but just to go back and say, you know, hey, how has this changed over time in terms of a skill that, like, we have no idea anything about what Necromancy is going to be about, but if it's going to be a support skill or anything, this is our, you know, most recent entry into the support, vaguely combat kind of bracket. So a good chance to go back and look at it.
Yeah, and we wanted to do that before anything Necromancy was revealed, so we'd kind of have the fresh slate of what support looks like in RuneScape right now. We're not saying that's the way Necromancy is going to go, but it's one way postulated before. Tanis, you have anything briefly to say on Then and Now Invention before we get into the big Mental Health Awareness Week?
Yeah, I mean, I think what we're saying is we're just setting the bar as low as it possibly could be for a RuneScape skill launch, and then anything that's better than Invention would be gravy.
You're walking
old
into
trauma,
that one.
Why you gotta bring it up? Yeah, I mean, old memories die hard in a community this old, you know? So
Yeah, I remember the Falador Massacre.
I mean, that was a few years before Invention got released, but that's also true.
I mean, 10 years.
The Master of the Falador Knight's Armory, maybe.
All right. But of course, if you're joining us for the first time, follow along in the full show notes at update.show. You can also join our Discord at rsbnb.com/discord. And we have a friends chat as well, Bits Bytes in game. I'm found at Shane12088. Tanis is at Tanis79. And Thaxi will hopefully, at some point, be back as Under Thaxi as well. But more on that later. More on that adventure later. But starting off with Mental Health Awareness Week, it feels like every year this week just comes closer and closer, and it feels like we just had this week. But it's always good to see these, because when we look at the charitable initiatives that Jagex has been a part of for their charities, this is something that has continued to evolve year over year. And of course, this is talking about their main partner with this Mental Health Awareness Week, Rise Above the Disorder, a nonprofit that covers the cost of mental health care for people all throughout the world, covering the therapy for more than 39,000 people, and their entire goal is to make mental health care free and accessible to everybody. And I think we all learned that. For those of us who were unaware of it, at least we learned that through the pandemic and in the subsequent years, through that, just how important that can be with everybody around us, our friends, our communities, and whatnot. Just to take that time and reach out and make sure everybody's doing okay. You guys have any thoughts on the charity or Mental Health Awareness Week before we dive into the bundles and how you can support Rise Above the Disorder this year?
Oh, I just think it's good for Jagex to support these kinds of causes, and they have for as long as I can remember.
Yeah.
Now, you know, in different ways, different organizations, and so I'm just glad to see it come back, every year.
Yeah, absolutely. And
they're visible about their commitment to, their work on causes like this, and I think that's a good thing. Like that, you know, not to like put too much of a like point on it, but
yeah, of course.
They're doing good work with it.
And you know, you understand how important this is to the people involved in these organizations, because I think it might have been Rise Above the Disorder, it might have been a different one of their partners, but at the last RuneFest, Mod Pips, Phil Mansell, had one of the directors from the charity on stage, and the director was absolutely moved to tears based on how supportive the RuneScape communities have been for their initiatives. And this is something that gets underscored each and every year through direct RuneCoin purchases and donations, through the bundles that are available, which we have a number of them available this year. So first up is the Power Bundle, 250 Rune coins gives the Rock of Resilience, which provides a 4% XP boost for 60 minutes and a 2% XP boost for other players nearby. It has 15 charges on it. 50 of each Protean item, 4 medium skill dummy crates, 2 boxes of clue scrolls, 10 pulse cores, 10 cinder cores, 2 aura refreshes, 2 life refreshes, and 2 item protection contracts. I think that one is new this year. And, you know, I think going into double XP, this is a perfect time to buy this bundle, because these are things that you can absolutely use and benefit from greatly in double XP if you're wanting to support the charity, or if you just need these items, perfect time to do that, I think, for 250 rune coins. So there's also the cosmetic equipment bundle. You can purchase it up to 3 times, includes 2 keepsake keys, a prismatic dye, and 1 chameleon extract. And, you know, we always like keepsake keys as well, so another good time to stock up on these. I mean, that's one of the things that I'm loving the most about RS3 compared to old school, and one of the things I miss most in that game is my cosmetic overrides, if I'm being 100% honest.
I think the last time I checked, and given it's been a while, I had like 87 items or something stored in keepsake keys that I just accrued over the years. Just like all so it's just like random things to like finish out specific outfits that I wish I had this piece or that piece.
Yeah.
Yeah, 15 years. Yeah.
And I mean, stock
however up. However long it's been to release cosmetics.
You're always going to need it. So, and the most interesting thing about this is that for the duration of Mental Health Awareness Week, all proceeds on Solomon's General Store will be donated to charity on that. And there's a discount on items in the Spotlight tab that are now over a month old. But if you don't want to buy anything, you can also just donate rune coins as well. And they say it doesn't provide any in-game benefits to you, but you will receive the title of The Giving if you donate more than 100 rune coins in one goal. And they need to be purchased as one bundle in order to unlock them. Mm-hmm. And if you donate a further 500 rune coins after that, you'll be given the title The Altruistic. And with that, the 500 rune coin title alone will not unlock The Giving automatically. It needs to be purchased as one of the 100 rune coin bundles.
Technical limitations or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know,
it'd be nice if they reopened the Well of Goodwill at some point.
Yes.
I would like that. I know that that's something I've heard people feedback about before, but I understand for a number of reasons why that's not feasible.
Yeah. And it's also interesting as a GP sync, but I think money wise, it makes sense to tie the donations directly to the RuneCoin purchases because then there's a cash flow on it. So.
Yep. And much easier to track. So.
But there's more. There's more this week. The Retro Gilded Rune Armor Override. 630 rune coins for members. 630 rune coins regular, 567 for members. And because all proceeds in Solomon's General Store go to charity, this also goes to charity when you buy this. So I think this is a perfect week to release this cosmetic override. Now the question,
armor, Shane.
What was that?
Do you want me to trim your armor?
No. I think I'll just go. I think I'll just go pick some up at Solomon's General Store now that they're available. You know, the Sarah Doman one.
Oh, good lord.
But also,
should we call Shane out for shillings too hard, or do we just let it go?
Hey, I like the Sarah Doman armor. It was what I always wanted back in the day. In, 2005-06, but I could never afford it at the time.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, yep.
You mean when he was a good guy?
Armor, mining coal in the dwarven mines until I could afford my rune?
That's exactly how it was.
16 years? Holy moly.
That's exactly how it was. What was the piece of armor item that you guys always wanted back in the day you could never afford?
I wanted a god sword. When I was first leveling up, I thought they just looked cool.
I wanted a dragon bowl helmet to finish off my dragon outfit. I mean, that takes it back.
The D chain. Oh my goodness! The little eye motif on the front, short sleeves. It looked good.
I need to tell a story about dragon chains and the Calphite Queen at the next round table. I'm going to put that on the list as a Patreon exclusive story to tell about that venture.
We'll remind you.
But gilded rune armor with the new materials and whatnot, all shiny as we've seen that the engine can do now. Same kind of texturing that we see in the money tree that we saw in the Steel Series promotion and whatnot. Then we have the 100% old retro style look. And I hate to say it, just so the people don't think I'm 100% shilling on this. This looks like cheese that has been molded into a piece of armor.
Not the moldy cheese.
Oh, for
cheese.
the old style. That's what it looks like. That's what it looks like in old school. It's just yellow rune.
Really? I don't remember it looking...
Yeah. No, it's bad. That never looked good. I mean,
did it always look like that?
Because there weren't a lot of them, but
did it always look like that?
I mean, our lighting now might play with it a little poorly, but it always looked like that. The way that we do lighting now might actually just make it look awful, but that's what it looks like in old school. Just more poorly lit.
Okay.
If you can't see it as well, maybe it hasn't have quite the same, but yeah, it always looks like somewhere between dingy and I mean, I know people love it, and it was a sign of prestige, and there's people that are this is the golden armor. I'll look at it in-game, and I'll still know that it's gilded, right? That's the thing. That is immediately recognizable as gilded, and I think that look is important to people.
You're right,
so
it is.
As long as there are people that are interested in it, it's a good move on Dragix's part, so fair enough.
And you know what the most important and interesting thing about this is with the new style look of the armor? Pair that with the golden party hat.
I mean, the Golden Party hat also has the gilded effect on it.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah,
so,
yeah.
Take the new armor and pair that with the Golden Party hat, and you have your RuneScape gold motif. Let's say
gaudy, so gaudy.
But Mental Health Awareness Week, perfect time to stock up on that. And then there's a little bit of a preview here, in that they are working on another retro cosmetic override, and it's the Helm of Nadazot. They don't have a release date on this one yet, but I think that looks wonderful how it's looking in the concept art here. I know Tycho.
I know several people who are very excited about this, and I know several of those people who I do wonder if it's a matter of prestige to still have one keepsake that is the enchanted version, but I hope that they release, if they're doing this, one of the versions they release is the old enchanted one. I don't know how much work that would be to recreate, but the model still exists in-game very clearly, given the people we know who have it. I would like to see them do I don't even know if they need to do a retake on it, but just have a recolor option to the enchanted version. I think that would be really nice. But
yeah,
we'll see. We'll see when it comes out, but it looks good so far.
Yeah, and they're also planning on doing more cosmetic retro overrides as well with this. They're going to be floating a new proposal on this to bring more cosmetics out. So obviously that means that these were a huge success here. So they said watch this space effectively on that. I will say again, for my part, I will jump up and down if they bring in a retro dragon longsword.
The I'm like, I don't even know, it was just a rectangle on a stick.
Yeah, exactly. Like the 2004 variant.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. Which ones do you guys want? If you could have any retro armor or weapon.
I feel like I had an opinion on this.
Yeah, you did. You were at the round table when we discussed this back in January.
You remember
almost
what I
18
said?
Months ago. No, I don't remember what you said 18 months ago. Tannis?
I'm sure. Yeah,
I don't remember. I don't remember what I was good either.
Okay.
I actually think what I wanted we have, because I wanted dragon items. The
right.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we got my wish list.
All right.
I'm trying to think what outfits I wore back. Like pre overrides, and I'm like having trouble thinking about like what I thought just looked really good that we don't already have. A lot of it was like the high level armor stuff that was just prestige points that, you know, clearly were cool models, but
yeah.
I
remember I had to do the infinity stuff for magic looked.
Oh,
actually made
old
you
infinity. Play. I do actually like old infinity. Yeah. That's a good shout.
Yeah,
I was disappointed when they changed it, and I still, I mean, that was one of the most used items in my keepsake, although, yeah.
And I think they also added it.
Yeah,
I think there's a retro.
I think that's already, I think like a lot of my stuff is already in there, like the old Bandos chest plate and the old.
Right, Barrow's items and whatnot are and there.
Barrow's items, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right. Well, moving on from that then, there's an account survey going on regarding Jagex accounts. I'm assuming this survey is going to still be up, and yes, this one is still up on like the previous short survey. So if you have converted yourself over to a Jagex account or you have opinions on that, go fill that out. And it's a survey that discusses effectively the onboarding of Jagex accounts and what can be done to improve that, plus new features that you'd like to see along the way. But with that, I think it's time to move on to the Treasure Hunter promotion of the week. And this feels weird, doesn't it, Tannis? Because we don't normally talk about Treasure Hunter promos here just because we accept them as part of modern RuneScape.
Well, they don't. I mean, they really don't make news as in.
No, they don't make news.
Making headlines, right? Like,
yeah. I mean, they can make news if you want to frame them in that way, right?
Yeah,
we accept them as they are and we just move right along.
Yeah.
They are such a contentious piece of content, but sure.
So this week we have Foresight to Train with Slayer wildcards and drop cleaners for fletching and crafting. So the idea behind the Slayer wildcard is that what happens with that is that you get these Slayer wild cards, and then you go out and you kill something, say an Abyssal Demon. And even if you don't have an Abyssal Demon Slayer task, it will give you XP as if you were on that Slayer task. So that's one thing that can come out of this promotion. But there is also the drop cleaners for fletching and crafting that are powered by a new item called Artisanal Gears. And what happens with these is that whenever you're training a skill, like fletching or crafting, you will have the option of having anything you create automatically converted to invention materials and disassembled, or high alchemized for it. And I think the interesting part about this comes is that there's a discussion about, you know, can there be a commitment at some point to have these added to the invention system? Because I think there's precedent for that in the past, like the skilling outfits, like the spring cleaner, like the magic note paper, right? And that hasn't been made clear at the beginning of this promotion, which I guess makes sense because they want to, you know, juice the money out of this promotion. But I think after this promotion has shut down, we need an answer from somewhere in the company about whether or not these things are eventually going to be able to be made with invention. Because, right. You know, there was a huge controversy on the site that shall not be named this week about this, in particular adding new powerful Treasure Hunter items on Mental Health Awareness Week. And that's fine. People can have that discussion if they want, but we need to underscore that in the past, Jagex has talked about their duty of care and that they are cognizant of the fact that there are people out there who have had gambling problems. And if that comes into being a question with Treasure Hunter, there are ways to limit your account in that way. And there are people you can reach out to with it being Mental Health Awareness Week. But with that, I think I come to you on this, Tanis, because you had a really interesting point about this, about where this would lie for you and how it would help you.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would, you know, I would be very in favor of having a way in game to produce the item, mainly because for me, it's quality of life, but it's quality of life because of accessibility. I am always worried about missing things, missing drops, missing yeah. something on the floor. And so, you know, I have all of the things that you can possibly get that will help clean things up and make it so that you don't miss something important, I keep with me. And so, don't know how I feel about that being behind a paywall.
Well, to be fair, this just
path forward.
Anything that goes into your inventory, it destroys into invention mats or coins. So it wouldn't be cleaning up off the ground. It would just be cleaning your inventory.
Okay, so, but the only items that you can't do that with automatically already are the fletching and crafting.
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that big of a difference.
No, it's not.
Manipulation in your inventory.
And that's why I think it's so important to have that discussion on this, because it went that way with Spring Cleaner, it went that way with Note Paper, and eventually it went that way with all the Elite Skilling outfits. I think it would make sense to do that. And, you know, I feel like, you know, bashing Jagex for rolling this out this week on Mental Health Awareness Week is the cheap shot to take, when in reality you just highlighted something that's entirely different, the accessibility angle and the past history of other items being brought into the game after a while through invention. And that's a discussion that needs to happen, I think, on that. Dax, do you have anything on this?
I mean, not particularly. I think that, like, it's a decent option in terms of just cleaning up, making things a little more AFK. They don't seem terribly powerful to me, which I think is a good place for things that are only on Treasure Hunter to be in for now. But also a good quality of life if they ever were to be introduced into the game. And maybe you do the same thing you did with, like, Note Paper, right? You used as an example. Where it's just, like, you can make it for yourself, but it's untradeable, and this is just a tradable version that happens to come into the game through this route. I think that's a pretty healthy way for Treasure Hunter to be integrated into the game. I think that would be fine. I think they're all good.
All right.
Decent new item.
Yeah, and I mean,
not worth the controversy.
No, and I mean, it's not like, you know, we're selling, you know, tier 92 or tier 95 weapons on Treasure Hunter now, or, you know, with
don't
direct
give them good ideas. Come on now.
Dude, you know how much easier it'd be for me to give them $40 than to get
okay, we're not talking
billions
about this.
Of money?
Stop. I should have opened my mouth.
I'll just say.
Get a worm.
Give me two of them. Moving shit. On. Here's my credit card.
Okay, stop. Stop.
So patch notes.
On to patch notes. I mean, go play Eve Online if you want that.
Just saying.
Okay, patch notes.
How many
notes.
Bonds I have to get to?
Ay, ay, ay. All right, we only have a few patch notes this week, and most of them were in the bug fixes to the graphical update last week. And, you know, we're not going to run through all of them. They're minor issues around the edges in most parts, like fixing an issue that caused Trindine to not spawn during Azanadra's quest, something from Song of the Depths, the curator, Mossla Harmless tree, palm tree being put in the right place. But one that does need to be mentioned that did impact gameplay is that the Mudskipper Point hidey hole has been re-added. And, you know, we knew that was going to be an issue last week when we talked about it, and it's good that it was able to be re-added in the next patch after that, because, you know, that you don't want to get a clue scroll and be hung up on that point. So I'm glad that one has been fixed, but most of the other things are things that are fairly typical fare when a graphical update comes out, and nothing too much to write home about, you know, just the usual force walk tiles and so on and so forth. But since double XP is coming up, I think that's the second or third time I've said that, in the next day or so, running for 10 days, Nick the Traitor has been moved to Fort 4 and 3.
Ew.
Yeah, and I don't know if that means he's removed from the other place. It definitely feels like it's an odd... like, why remove him from elsewhere? But a good place for him to be, it seems like a game hub right now that is accessible at all levels of place, so... I mean, as opposed to being in Berthorpe or the Grand Exchange, fine.
Yeah, and I know he was at the Max Guild, and I think he was at the Viragji, and I also think he was in Berthorpe, so that's a good question. Has he been expunged from all those other places, and is he just in Fort 4 and 3 now, or is he going to be in all those other places? So,
yeah, end of the day, we know where to find him. People who didn't read the patch notes might not. Somebody will have read the patch notes and will tell them.
Somebody will direct them to it, yeah.
And we'll move right along.
Further changes to Treasure Hunter. Protean memories have been reworked in that they now behave like Protean essence, and you need to take them to the Divination Crater to use them. They've also sped up their usage from 8 to 7 ticks per Protean, and also buffed the XP by about 60%. Because I think they were pretty much in the category of useless before.
Oh, yeah, no, the only use for them, as far as I'm concerned, was to convert them into something else. Like, people who really, really hated Divination, which it's just standing around either way, let's be very frank. But sure.
Earth hates,
like,
Divination.
Could have used them, but I think they seemed like a noob trap to me, where it was just a, like, oh, yeah, new players who were like, oh, this skill is really slow to train, I don't want to bother, I'm just going to use Proteans on it. But, like, the thing you noticed with those Proteans is that they are, like, 8 ticks up each, and they took... They gave you, like, the equivalent of one memory, which is, like, 2 ticks at a fountain. They were so remarkably worse than just training the skill.
Yeah. And which is
completely the opposite of every other Protean. So, which is just, like, we'll make it slightly more AFK, but we'll either keep the XP rate or we'll do, like... So, yeah.
I mean, now if you combine the Divine Conversion Relic, a familiar, the Divination outfit, and a busy world on that, Divination training is smokingly fast.
Yes, significantly different. So,
but they also
interesting.
Add a new XP rate for Elder Divination halfway between the 70 and 80 Protean memory values, because there was a gap in there before on the Protean side, but of course that's where Elder Divination was.
I was going to say, they effectively just said you now need to toss these into a rift rather than using them at a bank. So, you know, in order to, like, promote that, if you toss them into the Elder Rift, they'll give you Elder Rift levels of XP. Lovely. No additional feedback for me on that one.
No, I don't think so. Tanis, anything on these Protean changes?
I mean, I found some kind of niche cases when skilling, you know, when skilling up Divination using the Proteans, from just because there were certain bands that I couldn't access without doing big long quest lines and stuff. So handy a few times for me, although, yeah, you know, slower, but.
Okay, that's fair. That's interesting, actually. I never thought about that, and that kind of makes sense with how dispersed the Divination colonies are.
Yeah. A couple of them that are in really weird places. That's true. That's very fair.
Yeah. Also, updated models for skeletons, zombies, and giant rats within the wilderness, giving them the new unwelcome guest models. Very nice. And with this, dark beasts have also been updated, excluding Revenant Dark Beast and the Helm of Dark Beast emote. Those two are excluded.
Revenants have been kept as the memes, and I love it.
Yeah, and you know, I honestly think that Dark Beast needed an update. It's been so, so long since they were updated. I think they're the original model. Do we know that?
I don't believe they've... Oh, those Dark Beasts? I think they did get changed at one point, but it's been probably close to a decade.
Yeah.
I think they added in the big, like... haunch kind of behind the head on him. I think they did do some like head and facial shape changes. But
yeah, and good
change.
They absolutely do look terrifying now. By the way, I just pulled up an image of that. I got it on the screen for anybody watching on the YouTube version of the show. But moving on from that, they have also changed the Duke and Duchess title to be unlocked as part of the new Foundation's mini-quest, rather than on Solomon's general store. So if you've already completed this quest, these titles will be automatically unlocked for you. And yes, that also does include the Duke's title. That's good. You know, they needed to do that, being that you know, you're now the Duke in control of that fort, and you might want to run around with that title on. And previously, it was only available on Solomon. So that's a solid choice to make there, I believe.
Yeah, I think that is fun change in the way that they did that. So cool.
Then the few remaining dark warriors that stayed at their fortress have died. F for respects in the patch. That's
nice,
wonderful.
Nice subtle nod. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then finally corrected Balony to Balcony in the City of Sentistan Quest Journal. Oops. Or, as some people might say, baloney, if you didn't want to go through the full exotic Italian spelling of it.
Bologna.
Yeah. So.
Yep. Lovely.
Patch notes. Yep. Definitely not baloney this week. And we hope where we go next won't be baloney as well for our then and now special on Invention. But before we do that, I'm going to thank our Patreon supporters for this week. In particular, I'd like to thank Alfie S, Amos Reed, Andrew C, Arvids L, Beekeeper Steve, Big Huge Rat, Chunk the Monk, Slickle RS, Drama Free, Dura Max, Free Milk, Jacob G, Jade Gizmo, Jason S, Jeebus, Jesse W, Keski, Ling 01, Mohan V, Nate the Great, Nick G, Pernasius, Ricky A, RS Nerdherd, Samuel FL, Scott DS, Shirt Pants, Stub Eve, The Naked Captain, The Dabbing Goat, Tim, Tom V, Zant, and Zazakon. Thank you, everybody, for your support. It does truly mean the world to us. It allows us to do so many fun extracurricular things here at the podcast. It also funds the cost for hosting and production of RSBNB Update. If you want to help with that, check us out at patreon.com/RSBNB. We have 3 tiers available to support us, starting for as little as $1 a month. And in doing so, you gain access to an entire back catalog of monthly bits, which is our monthly bonus show. And this includes things like our discussion that we had last week on the evolution of transportation. You two were there, plus Sirion, on that. Any further ruminations on that, letting it sit in for a while?
I thought it was fun, like every bit.
Yeah, we learned something along the way, right?
Uh-huh.
That's exactly what they're about. But we also have other ones out there as well in the catalog, including our famous tier lists on dailyscape skills and PVM bosses, just to name a few. We also have past topics on things like holiday events, like legacy combat, and so many others. All of that available for at least $1 a month at patreon.com/RSBNB. And we also have our VIP tier, where if you want to give a little bit more, you'll get a VIP rank on Discord, which includes chat channel access and a Discord rank, plus high-quality stereo versions of the show. And if you do want to give the ultimate gift, we have our Insider tier for $5 a month, where you receive a shout-out on the podcast each and every week and gain access to the outtakes that we use to make the clip show at the end of the year. So once again, thank you to everybody for allowing us to do what we do here. It means the world to us.
Thanks.
All right.
Yeah.
Invention. Invention. A skill.
That's the meat of the matter.
Yeah. Our then and now perspective. And we've done these before on things like Metaphos, like MassCab, like Prif. And it kind of makes sense to do this before the new skill launch, because necromancy is going to have a lot to live up to. You know, we look at archaeology, and I don't think there's anybody out there who can, you know, paint archaeology bad. And, you know, of course, there's going to be a few people who are going to do that, but many people you talk to will say that archaeology is a wonderful skill, and it is indeed their favorite skill. So with that, we're going to go back to the last skill launch that didn't go over so well. And that was Invention in January of 2016. And just to paint a picture of where we were at, Invention was supposed to be paired with Divination and launch within 6 months of Divination launching. For the record, Divination launched in August of 2013. But it was about 2.5 years later that Invention finally arrived. It lost out in a poll to Prif, and I think we're all very thankful that Prif was added to the game first, because, I mean, that completely changed the game. But the idea behind Invention was that it would be something called an elite skill, a combination of divination, smithing, and crafting that would kick RuneScape into the future with augmented weapons and tools that you could truly customize to be the way that you wanted and be and foster a unique playstyle. Remember Mod Mark giving the keynote address at this at some RuneFest that you would effectively be able to level up your weapons and create your own unique flavor on that weapon. Now, obviously, that's not what we got. In the end, it had to be modified to fit within a more narrow scope. So this time on Then and Now, we're actually going to recap the release of Invention and talk about what it took to get it where it is today. And in conclusion, hopefully we'll talk about the impact Invention has had on RuneScape for better or worse. Tanis, you were on the podcast where we first talked about Invention in January 2016. What are your opening thoughts on this?
Oh, I almost have to ask you, Shane, which launch would you like to talk about first? Because you almost see Invention as...
Okay, let's get this out of the way now. We're only going to talk about this once. Explain.
Well, yes and no. Okay. When Invention came out, it was... There wasn't a... I would say that... For whatever reason, if it was balancing or whatever the case was, it didn't match the idea that the devs had in the way that people would train it. They thought people would train it in a certain way, but it was balanced completely in another direction, promoted a different kind of behavior. And since no one knew what they were doing yet, that's, you know, obviously...
Every rare item in the game was getting disassembled for parts, and those parts and the items that disassembled into them were way too expensive. And you got XP from, like, making gizmos, kind of, but, like, the idea was that as you're taking things apart and making gizmos out of them, you'd get XP. But the reality is that using items was a much more efficient system, and that was what it got changed to several days later. So we ended up with our current Invention system, but that clearly wasn't the intention on release, and they had to do a pretty massive rebalance redesign.
18 times
within
increase.
Within 2 days.
Yep.
Yeah, on the
within a couple days of release.
Siphoning XP.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
But you and your friends made money off this.
I mean, everybody.
I
made
didn't.
Money. Off of this, like, yeah, you couldn't.
Everybody,
like,
who didn't spend a ton of money trying to level the skill quickly.
True.
Yeah, I guess that's the that's the caveat. And see, I wasn't. And if you didn't have money, you know what you was doing. He was over there in the White Knight's fortress, just buying inventories, breaking them down, buying inventories, breaking them down.
Yep.
Making gizmos, but you know, I. Not only do we have to talk about that, but you also kind of need to mention, when I say what launch, well, there's also Invention Batch 1, Invention Batch 2,
Don't forget the tech trees that came out 3 months after in May.
Which,
Right. So when they released a skill, they said, hey, we're going to add a bunch more to this. It has space to expand in future, and they've expanded it by adding all kinds of devices as reward spaces. They've used it as like all kinds of things, and to effectively fill out the levels in a skill tree that when it started was just like, hey, you can level up, and every level you're going to get better at making gizmos, and so that's kind of your reward for now. And they've made it into a skill where you really do get like actual things unlocked at a lot of levels, and they just have kept adding to it with as a reward space for additional things. Right? They released archaeology with another batch to invention. Like it's been played into as this like the elite skill idea of it. The change in the XP scaling on it too was a big like point of contention, where 13 million XP is no longer 99, and 120 is at 104. It's less, and so you know the scale has a very different feel to it. And obviously, you can't unlock it until you've hit level 80 and three other skills. And so it you know it plays very differently than a lot of the other skills in your game. And I think part of that is a good thing. I think if you had access to it at level one, like farming is complicated, but you can like figure out how farming works without like it makes intuitive sense from an RPG perspective. The RPG, like the like logic on invention, no, it is purely gameplay. And so getting people into like figuring out how all the pieces of it work, not something I would want a new player to do. I think that's not a welcoming experience. So as much as like the onboarding for it isn't terrible right now, right? Like the skill tutorial is okay, all that stuff, but it's, I think it personally leaves something to be desired.
Yeah, that's true. And I went back into the archives on this, Tanis, to check what our initial thoughts were on this. You said that Jagex did a good job of trying to fix it, and you at the time weren't really looking forward to the skill on launch.
Yeah. And I was proven up right. My skepticism worked. Well, and the other thing was, like, you know, I knew I had the max for it again, right? So
right.
I'm like, here we go. Like, we're maxing again. But regardless, I mean, something that Daxi brought up, that the, it wasn't the buff. It was, oh gosh, what did you just say?
The XP curve?
The XP curve. Yeah. You know, whereas you guys are looking at the distinction of invention kind of being an elite skill, I think the reason it has been added to and fleshed out is because it's a true support skill in RS terms. So that's given it, you know, that room to do that.
More so than agility, more so than like the other support skills, invention really is like that. That's its job. It's a support skill. Like that is. It's true. It's true. It's true.
Yeah, and the XP curve to me was just it's atrocious. I hope it never happens again.
Yeah, we didn't like the XP curve on launch either. That's the other thing I was gonna mention.
Well. And the XP curve is balanced around the now 18 times XP rate, right? Several days later, which again, we're not going to worry about. That is just how the skill's trained. But like, effectively, you disassemble three items every time you disassemble. Like, a lot of those intermediate levels just don't exist. Like, there is not a world where anybody should be at a lot of those levels, because you disassemble every item you disassemble is 5 levels, 7 levels, 10 levels of like, you just get so much XP from disassembling a level.
Yeah, and you know, I will say without doing combat, it is still kind of rough to get to level 27 to unlock the skill gizmos, and that's a parody that doesn't exist on that, and that's from the skill peer perspective there.
A lot of people I know disassembled items to level 27. They said, I'm going to need a bag full of components, so I'm just going to, like, the XP rate is going to be awful for the first, like, 10 hours I spend on this skill, because I'm just going to disassemble items for levels because I need components.
Yeah, I did pro
one talks. Hurts.
You know.
When you're in a fresh start competition and you're trying to get XP, but you know it's worth it in the end. You just got to price it.
Because the items might not have existed, or you might not have had the proteins.
Yeah, they didn't exist. You had to make them yourself.
Yeah. You didn't have the option to use augmentable items. You had to use invention devices to level, things like the Fish-O-Matic or whatever.
Yeah, that too.
And if your max level is still item level 5, then you're kind of like, oh! You just need to go through a lot of them. So,
that's a good introduction of what invention is in terms, and we'll come back to the one thing I really want to hone in on as we get to leveling the skill is the black box nature of it. But we need to first talk about how invention came about. And when it was first promoted, it was promoted as the companion skill to divination, whereas divination was the gathering skill and invention would be the artisan skill. And, you know, with that, it was supposed to launch, you know, in a 1-2 quick succession to kick off, you know, that new cadence of the sixth age. But obviously that didn't happen. And there was supposed to be used for the divination materials. It also was supposed to bring forward technology for Gielinor, in particular for the Godless to use in the Sixth Age. We kind of know where they went. They didn't really play much into the Sixth Age storyline, unfortunately. We had Cave Goblin.
Cooler.
Yeah, that's true. We had Cave Goblin electricity, Dwarven steam, and human divine energy, and this was going to all tie into the developments of the Sixth Age. And, you know, I don't really think they leaned on that as much as they wanted to, because I think they saw with World Event 1 that everybody was hyper-focused on Ceridoman, and then the other people were focused on Zaros, and then they realized, oh, we really need to, you know, shift this into and reframe what Zamorak is about. And with that, I kind of think that Godless fell through the cracks in the floor, and they never really managed to tell that story.
They had a few too many factions to really pull together.
Yeah, and you know, I think Mod Jack talked about that, is that, you know, you don't do a massive storyline with 8 factions and let players decide which one they're going to be a part of.
Right.
So.
Yep.
But the first elite skill. Do you guys remember what you thought of that? Promise? Fear? Concern? Hype?
All the above.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't care for it, really, at the time of release. I was super busy, like, 3 months away from taking my medical college admission test. Like, I was just, like, off my brain studying when this first released. So I got to it over that summer and into the fall. And I maxed it over the course of, like, 6 to 7 months. Like, I really didn't rush. I wasn't maxed at the time. And so it wasn't a race for me to get a cape back. It was just to, like, I was getting closer. I had most of my skills up in the 90s. You know, I've been playing for, at that point, God, I mean, a little under 10 years. And it was just, like, still kind of trying to figure out a lot of, like, what exactly I was doing. And so when the skill came out, I'm like, oh, this is a thing that exists, but I didn't have a use for it, right? We at the time definitely didn't understand how beneficial perks necessarily were. And we're all like, well, I've been doing fine without them. And I definitely just continued on that route where invention didn't seem all that useful to me. A lot of the devices that we have in use now that I use, like, we went going through the devices in pre-show, talking about how we use, like, pretty much all of them. Like, with some exceptions, almost all the devices are, like, regularly traded and wanted and used. And so few of those existed, right? It was a lot about perking and leveling weapons and gear and, like, tools came later a lot of the time, right? It was originally just the fishing rod. And, like, so they've added in so much stuff that has made it a useful functional skill since. On release, I'm like, this is interesting. But people were acquiring huge stockpiles of divine energy at, like, dirt cheap prices because we had no use for it. It was just a resource that existed in the game.
Yeah, but eventually we did need it for our divine charges and such. And, you know, I still think divine charge gathering is still a good money-making method that's AFK low intensive.
It's a lovely AFK for how AFK it is, absolutely. Yeah. But yeah, and at the time of release, nah.
And then we turn the page to today on this, and we look at where invention has landed, and we realize that divination and invention are not that closely tied together. And in its best case, invention uses divination's divine charges. And we're left in a situation where Jagex still had to find a spot for divination. And I still think it could use some items in it. They fixed the trading of it last year, but it didn't fix divination because it arrived too late. And of course, it had its own launch issues that Tanis has alluded to. Tech trees also didn't materialize to where we are today. They were added a couple months later, and with that came skilling perks as well. But the tech trees, I feel personally, never materialized to their full potential. And they miss...
Well, I mean, yeah, they released them and they're awful.
Yeah,
and they're
it's one of the huge missed opportunities of invention.
Yeah.
Because a tech tree doesn't matter if you can unlock everything in it and specialize in the entire thing. The point of tech trees is that you have to pick and choose which way you go, and the more you put into one path, it makes the other ones harder to go down.
And remember, on release, you got access to both tech trees, but you got access to one of them at level 40 and the other one at level 60. And every device in the tree that you picked was like, they just bumped everything in the other tree up 20 levels. Everything. In terms of being able to unlock it. And that, again, that has been done away with. And part of this is like, they had something unlock every 10 levels. Again, as we were like I was mentioning earlier, you jump 10 levels every time you disassemble something in the scale. If you're wearing a top and legs augmented, and you disassemble them at the same time, you're jumping more than 10 levels at those kind of levels.
So,
and
it didn't really become it didn't really do the tech tree thing. Then is what we're getting.
It didn't do the tech tree thing. It was obnoxious to like people didn't like it because it was not like I think the implementation is the biggest thing to take away from this, right? Like the goal with a lot of these is to do the big like takeaways for what to change. Is that the difference when you compare it to something like archaeology is that when archaeology was released, it was planned out to a T. They had everything incoming and outgoing at specific rates. They had like they'd done a generally good job of making everything balanced and well thought through. And with invention, they didn't. It was very clear that they just like, this is a cool idea, let's do it. And then they chucked it at us. And the feedback we had was, no, we don't like it. Because it wasn't enjoyable. It didn't flow. It didn't have that like...
And when you think of it, invention is the second to last biggest update of this era where Jagex was stumbling. The last one was Menaphos.
To some degree, although again, I mean, the reputation system in Menaphos, yes, that's true.
Yeah.
Engagement hours was not a good metric to be judging when they released that part type of content. But again, I think this is very, very hindsight 2020 kind of response.
Yeah.
But I think it's a lot of like, how much foresight can you put into designing this content? Because you have to design it to do, like, you have to understand, like, where we're going to be coming from and where the player angle is going to be. And my hope is for Necromancy that they'll have learned and that archaeology was better for a reason and that's going to continue to go forward. But, like, Invention didn't release well. And that's the comparison to now, right?
And that's why we wanted to have this discussion.
Invention as it was now, if we're a new player getting into it, if they released Invention today in its current form, what would we have to say about it? And I think some of the problems are still there. I think the elite skill, I think Tanis might agree with this too, the elite skill, like scaling on it isn't great and the unlock requirements aren't great and how unclear gizmos are isn't great, but it trains much more smoothly. It offers a lot more rewards. It's got a lot of like neat and niche things to it. It is a true support skill and that's great. We love that. But
yeah. And at the end of the day, you also take away that, like we were saying, you had the tech tree launch in May. You then had batch 2 in September 2017. Then you had another batch with archaeology, with ancient invention, and so on and so forth. And you wind up with this situation where it took that long for it to become fully fleshed out. And it really shows that there was an issue with the concept. Whereas if 2023 Jagex took on this skill, I think you're right. It would have been an entirely different outcome in the end. But, you know, we still have problems with the tutorial and whatnot, and that's where we go next. Tanis, I wanted to ask you on this in particular, because I know you're the skiller at heart when it comes down to pretty much any skill in-game. You were there when we talked about training invention in January 2016. How do you feel today based on just the general conception of the skill? If they launched it how it is now, would it have felt better, you think?
Oh, without question. I mean, with Without question, it's a fully fleshed out skill, and more than anything, at least it has an identity. I'm not saying it has the best core loop of any skill. That distinction goes to archaeology. But at least there's an identity to the one that it has now, which is to gain XP while doing combat and siphoning, breaking down, you know, equipment, or skilling using crystal or using invention devices. And that wasn't clear initially. It has a lot more integration now than it ever, you know, than it started with, which in many ways, like, it didn't even have the skilling side of things on release.
Right. I remember feeling basically, oh, I have to go train combat now. Whoop-de-doo. This isn't fun.
For the man who doesn't like Slayer.
Exactly.
For those of us who had to get 120 Slayer in the interim, like, oh, I will tell you, I hit 120 invention. I believe I hit 120 invention while I was grinding for 120 Slayer. I don't think I had it.
That's hilarious.
Until I was pushing for trim or for comp. Yeah. I was pushing for comp when I got 120.
But now, like, you know, we have beautiful things like Shattered Worlds and Elite Dungeon 3.
But what was so hard about that? Wasn't necessarily that, like, I think I might have maxed earlier in 2015, but not that long before, maybe 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
I was not about, like, you could take my cape. I was not about losing that max skill. That was the spot.
Yeah,
that nice teleport, the good. Yeah, and the max guild was empty. I remember that because the max guild was empty. I wasn't even in there, but I remember looking in and, like, nobody was in the max guild. And, like, I was still logging on. I was busy, but I was still logging on to the game. And, like, I would log in and I, like, poke my head over in Kidder and killing elves or whatever it was. And the max guild was empty. Every time I was going through the gardens to use the portals to get anywhere, like, nobody was in that tower. Nobody. For so long. Like, archaeology, people were out of the tower for a few weeks, you know? But, like, everybody trickled back in over the next, like, few months.
Yeah.
And archaeology was a slow skilled level to 99. It was not a fast grind, but we all enjoyed it enough that, like, I'm willing to spend this.
And we had nothing better to do.
Yeah, because it's 13 mil XP versus 30 or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah, 40. I think it is 30 or 35, something 40. Around those lines.
40.
Isn't it really 40? Is it halfway to 120?
Yeah.
Wild.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
And this underscores also the big problem with Invention is that it's a black box, in that, you know, that was true when it came out, and that's true today. And, you know, we had a tutorial that taught the basics of discovery, augmentation, and creating new augmenters with an inspiration mechanic that is now gone. And, you know,
my God, I forgot about inspiration. Right? Oh, that was another, like, oh, we're not going to gate things at levels. We're going to have everything unlockable, but you have to have the inspiration in order to unlock them. So get this technically at level 107, but you have to prioritize if you want it now or if you want this other thing, and you get this at level 111. No, stop it. Bad. Every time they added anything in Batch 2, they had to add more inspiration. You just got a burst of random.
Right.
Cool.
And that's this big black box discussion, is that it's like, what? How do you do this? Like, where do you go? And it had, I think, and this is what it comes down to, it had a rough tutorial back then, and I still think that's a bit of a problem. As we highlighted in the conception of it, it started out rough in terms of content and fullness, but it's reached now a good spot on that. But I don't think the tutorial or onboarding for Invention has improved since then. Has it?
Mm-hmm. Not much, because recently.
Yeah, they've got a tutorial. The tutorial doesn't go through all the details. The tutorial tells you vaguely how to do the skill.
Tutorial. Yeah, there you go. That's how you
It tells you
that.
How to do the skill, and it, like, walks through things, kind of, but it doesn't cover... It really doesn't cover the, like, the details, right? It doesn't tell you in any way, like, how to design perks or like, a lot of the function of like, they can tell you how to level the skill, but it doesn't tell you how to use it at all. I think that's a much better
way. Yeah, and, you know, my favorite anecdote on this is from somebody who will remain nameless, but has a good idea of how the community works and how Jagex works. And his response was this, is that, you know, I'm mid-level, I still don't understand invention. I need to, you know, even after reading the wiki, I just need to, you know, look something up on YouTube to explain this thing to me.
Yeah.
And that's what it is, aside from knowing what buttons to click.
Some of the best performing videos.
Mm-hmm. Perk guides.
Like when we were doing micro lessons last year. Yeah, those perk guides that we put out on the skilling perks with Ennis and the combat perks with me or whoever was doing those, right? Like all that, those performed really well because people, it was not easy to,
And, you know, I'm going to just take this step right here, and I'll talk more about this later as well. Is it possible to remove the RNG in perk creation and, you know, let perks be sold on the GE or something? Because
wouldn't it be
RNG would be nice. I mean, let it be the item sync or something. Because,
like, I just finished making perks for magic power armor. Let's get the RNG out of this for, you know, however. It was fun the first couple times, but now
you
it's...
You can, like, the thing is that a lot of the easier perks to get, like, as long as you're not looking for crazy combo perks, you can guarantee relatively good levels of some things, and then a lot of the other perks you can do are, like, they're cheap to make. There's very few perks that are both expensive and bad RNG, so they put some of that work into it, but, yeah.
And I guess with 120 and elite invention potions, that kind of blunts the edges of that a bit, too. But
kind of.
Do you guys think that, you know, given the fact that invention is still difficult to get into, especially, you know, on the skill peer side, fresh start side, but that's a unique case in itself. Do you guys think that there needs to be more in game about how to perk? Because does it make sense that the best way to figure these sorts of things out is to consult YouTube, specifically something like our micro lessons on this? Or is that something the game should be explaining?
So here's my opinion on this, and people are welcome to take it or leave it. I think if it was available for new players, I would hate its guts. But the thing is, it's not. You can't get to invention in any way unless you have leveled smithing and crafting and divination. And those are three skills that have very different gameplay loops. It is going to be a rough world for a new player to get to those levels without understanding how to find out information about this game. The person who is there knows how, at the very least, how to use the wiki because it's so well integrated. They probably have developed some sort of like social clan or other thing because, again, that's pretty standard by that point in the game, right? Like, and they have access to all of the, they should have access to all the information they need by that point in the game, that when they've leveled invention, which the game teaches them how to level invention. It doesn't teach you how to use it, but it does teach you like the core loop of like augment, like disassemble thing, research, augment thing, disassemble thing.
Or siphon.
Like it does teach you that. Yeah, I mean, same thing. And like it teaches that by the time you've done all this stuff to unlock invention and then you've done that long enough, my personal opinion is that you should have found the resources you need to use it well. Or at least, like have somebody say, hey, this is how this works. And should you need to do that? No, I think that's poor design. But the fact is, if it wasn't an elite skill, if it didn't have those elite skill requirements, it would be an awful skill. But because it does, I'll give it a pass.
All right.
That's, like, at least where I stand on that.
All right.
Yeah, so I'm not a fan of the whole elite skill whatsoever, but, I mean, that's what we got. If you're using it on like a skilling and just kind of integration side, it works fine. They're self-explanatory enough, and you don't have to overuse the wiki to kind of figure that stuff out. But when it comes to combat, it is so complex that I think it would be helpful.
That's just interesting to say that. Because
I mean it's a good point because it is two perk slots versus or Yeah, it's 2 perk slots versus 6 perk slots, right? Or no, more than that. It's 4 versus, like, 12 or whatever. Combat has more augmentable bits to it. And each of those bits, how do you properly use multiple gizmo slots?
And synergize everything together.
Is it a perk? Yeah, how do you value perks to know if you need to, if you want to use a second perk slot?
Right, and that's kind of the same discussion that comes up with your favorite perk.
You mean Aftershock, my least favorite perk?
Yes.
may it go and die in a flaming hole. Yay!
But
I mean, we can have this discussion later.
No,
I've had that discussion.
Yeah,
before,
we don't. We're not. We made it a point coming into this that we weren't going to talk about how the perks intertwine because there's a better venue for that with the micro lesson.
If you're looking for our advice on perks, we have these great micro lessons you can find.
And to our knowledge, that hasn't changed yet.
I still recommend the same things we put there. Nothing. Yeah. We haven't had any big invention updates or big perk updates that have. Maybe we should, but we haven't. To make any of that stuff inaccurate. So the information that I gave forward when we were doing the math and putting those micro lessons together, I believe still stands.
So I have another question then on this. Let's keep the crafting, smithing, and divination requirements for it then, since we've pretty much underscored that the complex nature of it requires that knowledge. But let's use the traditional XP curve and balance it the way archaeology was balanced to 120. Does that make us feel any better about it then? Because for me, I still don't like that XP curve. I feel like
they proved
with archaeology they can use the traditional curve and balance XP in such a way that there's parts that don't feel grindy. Namely, post
99. I mean, archaeology is a low. Like, the XP rate on it becomes exponentially larger. The XP rate on almost every skill in the game is, you know, low, like, is an almost, like, direct straight line that increases over time. Archaeology is a line that ramps up really hard the longer you go, which makes it feel really slow in that, like, level 60 to 90 band, but really, like, much faster, given if it is still, it still takes longer, but it feels faster than other skills when you get into that 90 to 120 band.
Though we do need to have
a
conversation.
That is a very good idea.
About that 60 to 90 archaeology band at some point, because they have since added Sentistan and Orthan there, which we didn't have on launch.
They've added a lot of... The thing is, they've filled that slow time by giving us just tons of stuff to do. Every level still unlocks all this extra stuff to do. And that's what, to me, makes it worth it, is that was a very, very fleshed-out skill on release.
And once again...
Like, people were complaining about 3-level gaps where they didn't get new things to do. Like...
Yeah.
I spent the entirety of that skill. I didn't have time to watch shows. I was researching and making a plan. I spent the first week and a half, almost 2 weeks, that skill, literally just lining out how much XP I was going to get from where. Like, you could spreadsheet the math out of that skill, and I loved it.
That's what I'm hoping for with necromancy. And I think what we're illustrating here is just that invention.
Point to my own point.
Was kind of at
you
a different time.
To.
Yeah. Okay. Fair.
Invention forces you to spreadsheet it out to use it, and doesn't give you any real incentive or benefit to use it otherwise. Versus archaeology, you could just show up and you would get the benefits, and you'd unlock the things. You could look up a guide if you needed to skip the mysteries. Like, if you didn't want to do the story, every part of archaeology was in some way optional if you were doing the research for it.
That's not
the case for invention, where you have to. Right? Like, that's the thing, is you could make it AFK grind, you could skip a lot of it. Like,
yeah.
We made the argument before that you shouldn't use BXP for archaeology, not because it's a good skill, but also because it messes up. The skill is designed around the amount of time you spend.
Oh, yeah, I was
everything
so messed
is,
up in Fresh Start with
really
the
well.
With the XP modifiers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You could not. Like, you could just stay at one dig site, which is also kind of a cool thing. You didn't have to go to all the dig sites. You could just stay at one. But
then,
you messed with the mysteries and a lot of the progression.
But
of,
then
like,
we bring this back to invention and realize that there's just this such stark difference in terms of training with it that invention requires that knowledge at the forefront, that you know what buttons to push from the tutorial, but to learn the best way, you got to consult with the community. You got to consult with YouTube. You got to consult with the wiki and your friends.
Not a fan of that.
And we were talking, too, about the XP curves for things and the XP growth. Archaeology, exponential XP curve, exponential XP growth. The irony of the elite skill is that it is the opposite. It is a much more linear XP per level growth. at like right once you hit level 40, it doesn't grow as exponentially as the other skills do. But conversely to that, in like the opposite shoe, is that the XP also doesn't increase. The XP you get from like once you've unlocked having an item at level 10, which I believe is level 27 in the skill, your XP rates for that skill don't increase anymore. You don't get more XP per item disassembled. That's not a skill upgrade.
And then we get to the question. There, like,
well, you get the same XP per item at level 27.
How is this okay?
At level 119.
How is this okay is the question. And Tanis, you nailed it on the head. You don't like the XP curve with that, right?
Yeah, no. Not at all.
And I think they know that.
Yeah.
So
I think this is the only elite skill you're ever going to see.
Well, we'll find out in about a week and a half if we're right on that, won't we?
Oh, I know I'm right on that.
Hindsight, we're going to look back on this and question our life choices.
Well,
but
no,
yes.
I mean, we're fairly certain it won't be an elite skill because I think Mod Jack has said they want everybody to be able to interact with it from the start. So, there you have it. Yeah.
Well, we'll see.
But then we get to augmentation and perks because, you know, Tanis, you talked about how you started off with the idea of, you know, buying out the White Knight stock and then the hand cannons question, disassembling those, making gizmos. That was the way to do the training on the first few days. But then we go to the disassembly and siphoning mode, which then makes us realize that, you know, at some point, invention's going to be an item sink. And we thought, yeah, that's okay. Because along the way, that's how we're going to level up. We'll disassemble our items. We'll disassemble our gizmos and whatnot. And this mm-hmm. leads into that black box perspective about augmentation and perks. And we didn't necessarily know what we were going to be working with at launch. But I think you said, Taxi, was about a 12% damage buff on launch of invention, right?
That was my memory is saying that on launch, before batch 2, before any of the changes, like if you like had a brain for math and you spreadsheeted out every beneficial perk you could put onto armor and were in the best possible gear at the time, having fully perked out gear gave you like a 10 to 12% damage bonus. And then Invention Batch 2 came out, and that jumped up to, I think, about 17%. And then with Ancient Invention, we're into the 20s. And somebody is welcome to come back and say, well, it's actually 32. But, you know, it's gone up, and it's gone up significantly since release, but
the idea is power creep was introduced to RuneScape. And, you know, we use that term. Sometimes it's used in a bad word, but I think we can use it in a positive in the sense that it just, you know, brought the damage floor up for so many people who, you know, just start dabbling in invention. And I don't think we realized what we were walking into at the time with that of how much that was going to start impacting things. And I think that's going to be the hindsight 2020 moment for this is that we thought that these would just be ways of, you know, maybe enhancing our skills, which we really didn't get until later, or doing a little bit of extra damage here. But it created a whole ecosystem around PVM. And I don't think you have mid-tier to high-tier PVM today without invention.
No. I mean, it is such a hallmark of high-tier PVM that you have your perks at least close to correct, right? You know, if somebody wants to use a looting and, you know, on a gizmo or something as opposed to, like, aftertruck, like, you know, charge or whatever it is, like, yeah, all right, sure. But pretty much everybody, like, you see people running around, we're all in generally pretty close to the same thing. Somebody has solved it. Other people have checked the math and we have agreed that yes, we know what you should be running probably. There's very little situational nonsense about it.
Yeah, Tanis, what was your thoughts about where we were? I didn't listen to the full 2.5 hour episode on when we talked about perks and whatnot back in the day, but what was your initial thought on perking and augmenting back then and where are you today?
You know, where I'm at today is, I think, once again, I think there's a lot of really solid perks. I'm use a lot more on the skilling side because I find the combat side is complex. And, I mean, you couldn't, no, you couldn't remove. Invention and PBM are tied at the, they're tied at the hip at this point, because they're, I mean, I like to think that at least design choices are made with invention in mind now, right? Like, so you couldn't have one without the other, whereas it's not quite so dependent when it comes to the scaling side. It's more of a support than a meta of all meta. If you don't do this, you're definitely not cool.
Okay, that's fair. And I think what this then makes us talk about is that, of course, we have, you know, the quality of life side, like you mentioned, on the scaling side, and the damage increase side on PVM, but that thing that was proposed to be an item sync, I don't think we realized how impactful that was going to be.
No. Well, yeah, we were talking about this the other day, too. The idea that, like, it didn't just impact supply, it also impacted, or it didn't just impact demand, it also impacted, like, supply for a lot of things. Like, there was a twofold in terms of you're going to remove items to get components to make perks. There's not just a demand for these high-level items to disassemble for perks, like hand cannons, right? Hand cannons were 50k or something on when this came out. They were 30k. They were useless. They exploded when you didn't have high enough fire making them. They still do, but not when they're augmented. But, like, there were these so many of these things that, like, the Barrows items were worth, like, 5k each. Like, they were at whatever their elk value was, they were pretty much there. And overnight, everything that's augmentable, because you get XP from disassembling augmented leveled items, all of those items you could augment suddenly jumped in price. So it wasn't just like a sync for battle staves and a sync for, you know, like magic longbows and these things that we had too much of in the economy. It was also a sync for the expensive and rare items to some degree, right? We were saying that God Wars 2 wouldn't, like, those weapons wouldn't be worth anything right now if it weren't for the perks associated. Yeah. You don't get those items drops and think, oh, I just got the drop for this. So, like, to an Iron Man, yes, probably. But to the average player who gets a Super Wand drop, I just got part of somebody's, you know, planted feet switch, or their Codex of Lost Knowledge, or whatever it's going to be. That is part of that aspect of the skill now, is that you're pulling items at every level of the game out of the economy for them. The demand for them is increasing so much.
And that's what also makes clues profitable.
Yes. Oh my God. Fortunate component. Well, that was also a change in, like, the items available, right? Like, that was, you know, needing to make alchemical onyx and hydrix, right? Like, that's, but again, clues and PVM, that's a, like, invention is the tuning lever for stuff coming into and out of the game, pretty much everything except for gold.
Well, we've got a tuning lever. We'll talk about that later.
What? You make that sound so ominous.
Yeah, right, but, like, that's the thing, is that it's an economic update. Like, the skill came out and it like fixed a lot of the things where stuff was at elk value, right? And, you know, that brings us to, like, machines and some of those things too, which I think is what you were probably mentioning, and we'll get there. But yeah, very.
And
I don't know.
Go ahead. I think
no, that was
oh,
the
I, no,
I thought I,
oh,
have
I
a whole
I thought
lot
Tannis
of
was going to say something. I thought I heard him.
No, I was waiting.
Okay.
I mean, I'll bring up.
Yeah, your gigantic tuning lever. But so, we could talk about leveling with augmentation and perks, siphoning, disassembling, yada, 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 right? You mentioned same XP rates, the elite skill XP curve, furthering completeness with batch 2 in terms of perks, and then ancient inventions, so on and so forth, about where we move on this, and PVM requiring invention at the mid to high tiers. But I think the biggest thing we take away from this on the augmentation and perk side, you're right, just what does this do for the economy? And, you know, as much as invention might be difficult to use and hard to use, I think that the fact that we now have this as an output source for everything in the game, if something needs to be sucked out of the game's economy, invention is the proper way to do it. And it's good to have that as a mechanic. So I think if we're going to take one thing away from invention that it's done, is that it's greatly helped the economy in that way. But like you said, Tanis, it has also hurt the economy.
Well, I remember now, too, I just wanted to also mention it is invention's inherent flexibility that has enabled it to fill in those gaps.
Yeah.
When they come up with like the alchemical fortunate components, things like that, mm-hmm. is uniquely suited to be able to fill those gaps.
EOF, ingenuity of the humans, mm-hmm. grace of the elves, like, luck of the dwarves.
The game needed a sync, and the skill as an elite skill is something that you unlock later on in the game that, like, it can have that higher level function in addition to giving benefits and doing the other thing it does. It just, we all know that it's an essential part of the game balance at this point. And it is a cool that they did work it into a skill. And so maybe that's something to think about too, is that skills should have a purpose. With love for archaeology, archaeology is an entirely self-contained. It's the opposite of this. It's an entirely self-contained system. There's like, it has interactions, but only with invention. Because invention has interaction with every skill. It's like Sanders was saying earlier, it's that true support skill. And maybe that's the thing, is that the idea is that balancing that and making it feel good and usable at every level isn't possible unless you know everything about the game already. And you're like diving into it so late in the game.
Yeah. And that's what it comes down to, I think, at the end of the day, is you wind up in a situation where invention, in effect, is the balance of the game's economy, or it can be used as one of those tools.
It is at this
that.
Point. I mean, yeah. All in terms of items coming in and out of the game, invention is, it must be as much as any production skill. Anything that isn't a production resource, it's crazy.
Yeah. Tanis, anything on perks and augmentation before we move on to your machines and devices?
No, that's all for me.
Okay. And we were promised machines, but those didn't arrive until 2017. And we're going to do machines first, because I feel like devices is something we can just, you know, dive into and talk about at length, because there's so many good ones out there. But the machines, when they arrived, were the alchemizer, the auto disassembler, the plank maker, the partial potion producer, and the automatic hide tanner. So with that, I'm wondering, and we look at where we're at with this, I feel like today we're in a situation where it's really only the alchemizer, disassembler, and sometimes the plank maker that are used.
I'm sure there's some iron men who use the potion producer, so they're not, like, you know, having to do all of that on their own. But yeah, no, I mean, Alchemizer, I think, is the easiest, like, and again, I think it is similar to the perks discussion, where my personal opinion is that the auto disassembler is, if you're willing to spreadsheet the ever-living daylights out of them, are going to be, like, really effective moneymakers, but the alchemizers are just such easy plug and play. You put in like 5 standing GE orders for things that alch well, like dragon equipment or whatever, and you just leave them in, and you chuck whatever goes from those straight into the alchemizer or salvage or whatever it is. And it's just easy money. Or if you're doing a lot of elite dungeons, it's like you're just chuck your relics in there.
Yeah. And, you know, the Death Cost blog showed us that earlier this year. In 1 week, the invention alchemizers added 92.2 billion GP into the game's economy.
Right.
And like, that's the story on that. And that's where we get to Tanis's tuning lever. I don't know where you wanted to go with that, but you made it sound so ominous.
Well, just because, like, I never guessed alchemizers having the impact that they had until we did get those numbers.
Yeah. And you didn't think it was a problem to begin with.
No. I do have to say, if it wasn't machines, it would still be coming in the old-fashioned way.
Bots.
Through bots, right? So,
yeah.
You know, if anything, this was like This is what happens when you industrialize. Only luckily, we're the captains of industry in this scenario.
Well, the thing about it too, you have to realize is that like it used to be a good way to train magic. It was a nice AFK magic training option, and it's not anymore. Just very, very simply, it's alchemy. Alchemy isn't, since Evolution of Combat, is awful magic XP. No real two ways about that. And so you have to like keep in mind that it's just not useful.
Yeah, and you know, like, this machine is the whole reason we got the Grand Exchange tariff.
Right. People don't spend their time alking because it's not good enough money per time to be valuable to players, and it's not good enough XP per time. And so, and even the combination of the two isn't enough. And so, you know, here we are. Ta-da!
Yeah, and I mean, auto disassemblers, like, I can get behind those, I don't think.
Battle staves, you know, maple logs.
Yeah, I mean, that's even, and that's taking stuff out, right? Anything that helps draw more out, great, wonderful.
Well, and the other thing that we're talking about kind of in the section two is devices, right? And I think the auto disassemblers play nicely into the devices in that, like, I had a spreadsheet at one point, and I have not been doing this for a number of years, so I'm going to give away my trade secrets, that I used disassemblers for years to make probably several bill worth of gold. Like, I paid for my membership several years in a row solely off of disassemblers. Because I could, you could math out, you could disassemble this many battle staves and this many like magic longbows and this many of these things to get the exact number of every type of component you need, and every component you disassemble out of that could go into something. And so I was selling like augmenters, I was selling like siphons, I was selling a bunch of mechanical chins, because those were like the connector parts from something really easy, and I had a bunch of living parts from logs, which was my like tuning lever, because I could use whatever number of logs I wanted and get sample parts to make empty charges. It's like I had this whole thing worked out where, yeah, the wiki does the math for, well, if you disassemble this thing, you get sample parts. Sample parts are worth this much because of the price of charges, so it's not worth it to disassemble logs. But you also get these other things, and the other things could be used, like, you could play with that system and those calculators in a really, really complicated spreadsheet to make an absolute boatload of money with disassemblers. And I think some of that is still in the game, but because they're valuable because of all of the devices that are made with the components you get. And the devices are, like, because of that, so clearly used, right? It's not just having...
That's so interesting. I didn't plan on us...
Because the devices actually sell.
I didn't plan on us linking machines and devices that closely. I just put them in the same section because they were kind of updated at the same time.
I'm willing to bet most of the devices that get used in the game are made by people like who did what I did, and sell them in huge bulk in these very complicated, like, very complicated numbers, to be honest. Like, it was just, that spreadsheet was an absolute beast of a thing. And tuning it, because every time I had to input like 7 different item prices, because every time something changed, like I had different items that I would use depending on how the GE prices were going, because they had different, every item had a different chance to give different combinations of components. And so I changed this structure up, like it was not, you have to spend a significant, like it's a several hours of math every week or two to keep this going. But it was such ridiculously good money. So like at the end of the day, like I think machines are lovely. Machines are an excellent, you know, thing to do. And the devices are clearly used. And like we were saying earlier, there are so many of those devices that are like really useful. It's not just, you know, every one of them is used for something or other.
Yeah, so. And you know, we'll go through some of those now. And you know, we started with things like the Divine-O-Matic that was added, gizmo bags, mechanized siphons, spirit tree rerouters, portable fairy rigs, herb protectors, liquid patch bombs, equipment separators, lock melters, party simulators, the combat dummy Mark II, still used in high-tier PVM in some places, potion reservoirs, teleport compactors. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I really haven't leaned too much into these devices. I know you have. Thanks. Tannis, do you use any of these on the daily or no?
Well, I didn't fresh start, right? Like some of those
Right.
I had to use, but not daily, you know, on the main. It depends on what I'm doing, right? Like fairy rings, I've used them. I think they're good for clues, although that's not what I use them for.
I used them for farming.
Yeah, I mean they're just a
Get
good
patches.
teleport.
The interesting thing that I see with this is that, and I go back to when Garden of Carid came out at the tail end of last year, they updated the patch bomb with that to apply the Juju farming effect on this, but it's just not economical to use some of these devices. So I'm wondering, is that just a cost that you eat in the case of the Spirit Tree Rerouter and the portable fairy ring, or is it just the liquid patch bomb and whatnot that's not economical?
I think most of them are like it's a question of money per time, right? And so like a lot of the things like the wood cutting or mining accumulators, they're kind of like large urns, right? And I think they actually interfere with urns. So it's a choice of like you can hold effectively more of these urn like things in your inventory and get more XP out of it, but you have to pay the extra money to do so, right? Same thing with things like literally for training invention, the idea of XP accumulators and like the or the XP like storage things, whatever they're called. Like those have that same idea where you can pay a ton of extra money and say, hey, I'm going to sacrifice either part of my profit or part of the things that I'm making in order to like recreate the like to get just the slight edge of extra XP to really bump my efficiency because I don't necessarily care about the price or I, you know, dislike training the skill, whatever it is. Like trying to think some of these other items that are just like niche use, right? Like the Dungeoneering Lock Melter or Party Simulator, I think fall under that. There's some very interesting devices like the Old Coil and Kinetic Cyclone, which like I think of almost as unlocks. Like you unlock them and they're there. But things like the Electrified Trap, I think, is not worth using. There's some stuff like the Monkey Mind Control Helmet, which is like a construction upgrade, but it's a one-time thing,
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
A pogo stick. It's a for funsies like one-time thing, you know. Bank standers are probably not worth the time it takes to get the components if you are careful about how you obtain and use your components.
We also need to talk about the
Like
XP capacitor. We haven't talked about that yet in terms of how it
yeah,
allows us to
that's what we were
train
talking about.
and level up invention items faster because, you know, there's always the thing you buy something, you want to level it up for its components that it gives. Do you really want to take the extra time, or are you going to go out there and purchase an XP capacitor and run yourself to Shattered Worlds or ED3, right?
Well, and the other thing is that there's a market for, like, again, it's all a matter, it's like those adventure machines. It's a matter of, like, maximizing what you could use out of the thing that you're at currently doing. So, like, in the case of the XP capacitors, they're like, they cost 3 mil to buy, but you sell them full for more. And the, like, so, you like, say you're training magic, you want 120 magic or 200 mil in magic, you bring a bunch of XP capacitors because you know you're going to hit 120 in, you know, or 200 mil or whatever it is in invention anyways. You might as well sell some of the extra item XP you're getting. Or say like you've got a PVMer who's trying to really juice out that level 20 items. And so they're trying to get all their stuff leveled up so they get the extra 10% like effectiveness on all of their perks from having a level 20 item. And so they're buying these things, right? So there's uses for all of them, but it effectively says, hey, I can sacrifice. I think this is a really cool item idea, the
And
capacitor, to say, hey, you can store XP and sell it
yeah,
effectively
one
is
thing I'm seeing here that I didn't see before was just the synergy between machine to device and then using that device to further a skill. In effect, it creates an ecosystem, a cycle that's there in addition to invention being the item sync skill.
Yeah,
And
I mean, yeah, this assembler is
if
particularly.
anything, my perception of invention is becoming better as we go through this show.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a good skill
It's
now.
yeah, it's designed and its interactions in the way that it's integrated itself into the game. It would be hard to imagine a lot of game aspects without it. like, it's hard to imagine them being balanced if it wasn't present.
Yeah, that's true. Know. That's a good way of putting it. And I don't know. I feel like, which one do you, obviously, you know, the augmentation and perks is really important for how we interact with PVM, but also based on this discussion here, I feel like machines and devices is often seen as secondary, but I feel that's almost as important as the other stuff in the skill.
Oh, it was.
On what you're doing.
I mean, had it been together, then there would have been something for everyone. Everyone would have loved it, but we had to wait for that.
Yeah,
part.
And that's,
you know,
why
much more and, the skilling side of things,
and that's why we get to the point with this skill where we start to say, well, you know, hindsight is always 20/20, and the hope is that Jagex has learned something along the way, because just like archaeology, I feel like here painting this picture of invention between 2016 and now, there's so many learning experiences along the way, not only for Jagex but also for us, just in terms of how we feel about the skill. But tech trees? You guys ready for some tech trees? In that, you know, these were presented.
We kind of talked about them earlier.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan. The way they've evolved over time is they were on release, they were like, oh, this is going to be this cool new update to invention. Everybody's like, yeah, we don't like it, and the rewards aren't useful. Yeah, he's like, all right, well, we're going to scrap this, and we're going to just give you these unlocks effectively after, like, a 7-day waiting period. It's kind of how it's
turned out. And, you know, you
turn in,
like, an augmenter or maybe some components, and then you get an unlock, and then that's your bit on the tech tree. And like I said earlier, I think this is a huge missed opportunity for the skill. I don't have, you know, a mock-up design of how this could go, as to how it would look differently to other games we could look at. I don't have that right now, but I think if Jagex wanted to expand invention in the future, would you guys say tech trees would be a way to go, or do you just continue adding into, you know, the perks and the machine and the device space?
No,
I would
treat it like other skills. You've got empty spaces.
Tech trees were a failed experiment.
Yeah. I mean, I would be down for them making more devices that are steam-themed or electricity-themed, and, like, not, like, necessarily attach them to skill trees, because I think the way that they ended up doing those unlocks is obnoxious and arbitrary. I think you should just get to a certain skill level and say, hey, the dwarves have a new thing for you to look at, and then you just make it. Like, I don't think the skill is already overcomplicated.
And you know, I also feel like the idea of tech trees in general, as they were imagined, has kind of fallen out of favor in games even since 2016. In that, you know, everything is just much more linear. You can unlock things, or you might have to choose to unlock things, but there's really no obstacle to prevent you from getting these sorts of things, I think.
RuneScape is not like other MMOs. In other MMOs, you choose a profession. You choose to be an armorer.
You choose a class.
You choose to be a mage. You choose to be these things. In RuneScape, we get it all. And people were displeased when they realized they had to wait to get it all. Sally's at level 40, and she has this cool dwarven tool. Why don't I? I have to wait 20 more levels?
I went. My first tech tree.
That didn't play well.
My first tech tree item was the one with the sprinkler in it for my farming patches.
Why am I not surprised? I don't even remember what mine was at this point. I think, I don't know. I think I went with the melee cannon to be obnoxious and different.
I think this is the one area where we can say that we don't feel as though we need it in-game, and maybe this is the wrong panel for this, but I'm 100% in your camp that, you know, anything further on the gnome or dwarf track or... I keep saying gnome. Gnome tech tree does not exist. It was planned. It never came into game.
Dwarf
or goblin.
Goblin.
That's
maybe
the
goblin.
Other one. Yes. But when it comes down to it, I think, like you said, you just roll those into the skill at this point. And maybe it's a missed opportunity, but RuneScape doesn't lend itself to that kind of gameplay. But I'm not too fussed over this, I don't think. I'm okay with them kind of fizzling out. So, all right, we're gonna wrap this then and now up, but I have two big questions here.
Mm-hmm.
Should there be more elite skills in game? And if not, is that a failure of invention?
If there are, I think they need to be like invention in terms of like touching every other aspect of the game. Invention is like, as an elite skill, you have to, it is so complicated, it has to be unlocked through other things. But it touches every other aspect of the game, and you effectively have to have played every other aspect of the game before you get access to it, or to like intentionally go for it. And I think that would be, I think any future elite skills must also meet all of those requirements. Otherwise, I think it's just feels bad, man. The XP curve is wrong. The unlock requirements are weird. The like, there's a lot of weird stuff that works because it's a complicated and obnoxious skill. To be, you know.
All right, Tannis?
I don't like elite skills. Don't think that we will ever see it again. I hope we don't see it again. And, I don't think that is...
And before necromancy?
Yeah, I mean, I just think that's... It's not because of invention, but something had to be first, and something had to show us that not the best.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll take it one step further. Keep the crafting, divination, and smithing requirements on invention, but change the XP curves and rebalance everything out. Is that a change they could make at this point, in the name of consistency?
Mm-hmm. They would have to change how you trained it. The XP is too linear at this point that to have an XP curve that works exponentially. It would feel awful. You disassemble 3 items and you'd be at level 70. Like 2 items and you'd be at level 70. Very literally.
Yeah, you'd basically like you need to then rebalance.
Like you couldn't.
Rebalance the entire skill
then. Yeah, the XP curve exists because of the training method for this skill.
And like
required.
We said, at the same time, you unlock level 10 to disassemble something. Poof, that's the skill you get for disassembling all the way to 120.
Yeah. Nah.
So it would need a fundamental... reorchestrating of the skill then. Okay, we won't do that then. And then we go to something you said, Tannis, and I'm glad you brought this up, in that I think the big takeaway of this entire thing is what you said, is that this is the support skill that RuneScape probably needed, done in the most RuneScape kind of way.
Yeah.
That does sum it up.
And
I can't disagree.
And with that, I'm going to ask you, what does it do right, and what do you feel it needs for support? Because I know you've played other MMOs, other games on that support angle.
So, what is different about invention is the way that it interacts. You know, it is its interaction with all of the other skills. When you think of support other places, it's more of a class. Whereas in RuneScape, you have some of that is in magic, some of that is in summoning. You got a little bit of here, a little bit, something. Perhaps necromancy will be what brings all of those kinds of things together, or touches everything in combat, much like invention does overall. And in that case, maybe that's smart, because it only has to worry about half of the game versus trying to take the whole thing on.
In other games, a support class makes your tank tankier. It makes your DPS hit harder. Mm-hmm. It makes, you know, your mages have more magic and your, you know, meleeers move quicker and whatever it is. And in RuneScape, we're all of those things already. So the support skill effectively just has to impact everything we do. Like Dennis is saying, it has to be... like, support skills have to function differently because of the way that RuneScape functions as more of a... not solo-focused, it's still an MMO, but more of a solo-focused MMO.
And
you, well, it's a solo reward.
A do-everything MMO, basically. Mm-hmm. Be everything.
Yes, exactly.
And you know what I think we just realized with this is that the typical, and you know, we'll know if we're right about this in a week and a half from recording time. Mm-hmm. Necromancy can't be what it is in other games with summoning. It can't be, because if that was the case, I think you'd just add on to summoning. And I don't think it can be a support skill in the true vein of what we pictured here as invention. being the support skill as it is. So with that, I think necromancy goes a different way entirely than being support focused, like some people have been saying they think it might be.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
I'm interested to see,
because we have this.
To me, that's prayer is like my idea of that right now. Is that
yeah?
Prayer is this like it's shorter. You have to bar and you have a resource for it. But it largely impacts all of your combat, all of your skilling and stuff. Just as I'd be interested to see how. Right, like prayer is the original support skill to me.
And then invention takes it to an entirely different level. And
invention
touches so
puts
many
things
other things
on a permanent basis
yeah.
instead of a temporary.
Yeah.
And maybe necromancy falls in the middle.
And
we'll
you know,
see.
And you know, with that, I've actually come to like invention more than when we came into this episode. I do have to say so myself.
Yeah, we've talked ourselves into it. By golly, well, they've done
tennis?
A good job.
I mean, I've always
to make it good.
Invention's a good skill now, but I think you know we can poke fun a little bit and be realistic about its, you know, 14 launches and, you know, some rough patches, but it is a good skill now. It's
become a good skill, but it's got more updates than any. I mean, actually, I don't know if that's true. It's got a lot of updates for the amount of time it's been out.
Well, yeah. But it's because it touches everything, right? Like, it's the Donald Trump of RuneScape.
And on that note, hopefully you guys have enjoyed this then and now. I don't think there's anything else that we have left to go into on this, and hopefully we painted an effective picture of where, I was almost going to say where necromancy started, but where invention started. Yeah, we'll come back in, you know, 6 years and do one of those on necromancy, but hopefully we painted a good picture of invention and where that started and where we got to now, and kind of... realized that, you know, we got to a good spot, but there was just a lot of the early design stuff that made it kind of rough. And then some of the onboarding that still persists today that could be fixed as well. And you have something that has a really good and solid design behind it. So hopefully you guys have enjoyed this. And if you have any ideas about what our next then and now segment could be, let us know in the comments. Let us know in the Discord. We're always eager to hear about where we can go next with these. We've of course done them in the past on Prif, Mazcab, as well as Menaphos as well. That was what kicked this off. So, but with that, we're going to move on to our achievements of the week. Only a few of them. Calm before the double XP storm, as we like to say here. First off, 82nd Airborne with 120 crafting on the 17th, and McLubbin with 99 prayer on the 16th.
All right, and then we have Penticide with 99 Slayer on the 14th, and we have Papo with 120 Firemaking on the 14th.
Right on.
Following that, we had Maheen with 99 Fletching on May 12th and 99 Agility on May 11th, as well as Queen RuPaul with 99 Construction also on the 11th. Congratulations, guys. Good job, everybody. Let's keep them going.
Oh, they will. They will. We got to figure out who's on the show next week, Tannis, to help us read the big list.
Right.
All right. Pick of the week. The presidents are back.
So the pick of the week this week is Shane said it. The presidents are back. So the AI president. They've been a pick of the week before. But they have really, really came into their own as characters of, you know, of themselves. But I really enjoy listening to this. And within the first 2 minutes of this video, I was losing it. And it gets better and better. But basically picture the presidents being in a Discord server like where we're all used to. And they're doing a ranking of the best Little Debbie snacks and
This was a fun discussion in pre-show. I had no idea what a Little Debbie was.
We were all cracking up both at Shane for that and at the first couple minutes of this video. So,
yeah.
There we go.
I mean, listen to it. It is an instant classic, and like I said, they're becoming these like characters. Like these characters, the writing is good, and you kind of like them all, no
matter which is alarming.
Yeah, like I like the fictional ones. Yeah,
they kept some of the bite on their personalities.
Yeah, but they're as AI characters, they're harmless, and that's fun.
And you know, I had no idea that these treats were a thing. Like, I had never heard of any of these, if I'm being 100% honest. But what you're saying is you can go to a grocery store and buy these things. These are 100% real.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, yeah, they're real things, Shane.
I mean, you do have grocery stores up
we do,
there, right?
But nothing, I haven't seen anything like this.
Yeah, but their Skittles are also freaking M&Ms. So, you know.
Smarties are M&Ms. Huh.
There we go, Smarties.
But
whatever.
We also have M&Ms too. M&Ms are better. But it's amazing how much things can change crossing a little international border like that. But
yeah, I can't believe you guys don't have Little Debbies. I mean, you want to get some import export, you know, under the table Little Debbie action, Shane. Got your hook
in the mail.
Yeah.
Maybe. but I can think of other things we could import from the US, but that's the pick of the week. I'm not going to play any of that on here, as I don't want to risk another copyright cases happened, I think, with Questcaping's last pick of the week, where I played a YouTube video. But what have we been doing? What have you been up to on RS, Tanis?
Trying to get a dinosaur tooth, and I finally gave up tonight. Because I'm going back to construction since double XP is tomorrow. But I've been
so dry on that thing.
I can't.
It was like 3,000 kills.
Yeah, it's stupid.
Where did that one come from again?
It's
dinosaurs.
Plants and dinosaurs. I got mine from a lamp and flora, because they had the lowest HP of any of the killable options.
You know,
and they're susceptible to the Hex Hunter, and I like ranging things.
I don't remember mine being too bad.
I'm going to have to try that, because
I'm going to assume
I had a nice spot where I could have four of them auto-aggroed onto me with aggro potions, and with, like, my maxed out prayer and everything boosts, I could revolution and just kill them at a rate fast enough before they were respawning so that I didn't die. It's a little spooky to set up, but was able to soul split them and have four spawns that respawned around me. But
that's neat.
Oh,
I'm gonna assume my wonderful RNG struck for that one then.
I mean, it's a 1 in 1,000. So you know, sometimes you get unlucky on these things. I got unlucky. Sounds like Dennis's too. Mm-hmm. All of it. You know, that's the end of it.
And you're just gonna be doing fort construction then, or?
Yeah. Once tomorrow hits, I'll be doing on portable workbenches as much as I can.
Yeah, that's good.
And then filling in whenever I can't. You know, I've got frames.
That's the way to do it. Yep. That's the way to do it. It'll be interesting to watch and see what the frame prices do during this double XP.
Yeah,
if they move at all.
People are interested.
So
maybe.
As for me, I finally finished Yak Track to tier 70, doing the task A's. It's interesting that they expanded it out for another 4 weeks. I have no interest to interact with that Yak Track anymore. That was enough. That was too much. Please bring it back to the 50 task model. Thank you. And that's where I land on that. I mentioned last week that I bought my magic power armor. Well, this week was the very fun endeavor of making perks for that. As I mentioned earlier in the invention, then and now, I would absolutely love there to be a method to get perks in game without the RNG, because I don't know. I mean, you can, like you said, you can take the RNG out of some of it, but I'd just like to be able to go to the GE and say I want this biting four, this yada 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 yada, so on down the list. But that's my usual complaint when it comes to perking out gear. But I guess it doesn't matter that much, because you do it once and you're done, right? So
yeah, I remember perking out ten. I did 10 sets of gear at once, because I did a hybrid armor, power armor, like Slayer armor, and like lower level armor for training Slayer,
right?
And a set of perks for tank armor for all styles and like 30 weapons. And I did almost all of that at once, where I just mass produced perks. And
I assume you had some failures and leftovers there.
A few, not too terribly many. I plan it out pretty tightly, but yeah, not looking forward to if I have to go back and do all that again.
Which you might have to for reasons that are out of your control. I'll let you tell the listeners about your unfortunate
Oh
series of
no.
events here with your.
No, so I got hacked a few weeks ago, which took 15 more than 15 years to get there. We're closing in on, well, regardless. Yeah, so I haven't had access. My account got hacked, oh gosh. Well, almost 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago tonight. By the time listeners are listening to this, it'll be 2 weeks. And I submitted reports about 2, 3 days later, appeals for it. They hacked my email, so they were able to transfer the accounts off the email. I don't have any kind of access to any part of it anymore. They took the authenticators off and everything. Of my main and my alt, because they were both attached to that same email. Because one of them was the original account, one of them was actually on that email. So I'm a little concerned about that at this point. I'm pretty sure my bank and everything will have been cleaned out. The PIN will have expired.
And you're still waiting to hear
And again,
back,
yeah,
too.
I submitted those appeals. Yeah, I've submitted the appeals 10 days ago, and I haven't heard anything back yet. The
Yeah.
appeal form says not to resubmit, but I think
And
I'm probably going to
yeah, I
submit a
think
new
you're
one
going to
tomorrow.
have to, because I remember seeing an infographic at some point at last year, I think, maybe after the login lockout, about just where, support requests in
Yeah.
general were at. And there was this thing that the vast majority of them are addressed in 24 hours, and the number after 72 hours was something like less than 5%. So I'm wondering what happened there. And I think you're probably at the point where you would be valid in resubmitting those requests, because
Yeah.
it's pushing 2 weeks at this point for that, and for an account that is that old, you really want to get on that
No, I
so
mean,
much
I'm,
quicker.
yeah. If I don't get access to the account back, I'm probably not going to stay for Necromancy. I wouldn't make a new account just for that. I still have my fresh start account, but that's not a high enough level. It's, so many of the stats that are still in the 50s. I would just be done with RuneScape. So, yeah, fingers crossed that I can get that sorted, but that's been what I've been up to on RuneScape lately.
Yeah, and we of course hope that you will be able to, because when it comes down to it, at the end of the day, that's just so much time. And I've seen accounts get reinstated for far less than that. So fingers crossed on that, of course.
Yeah, I'll keep people in the loop.
Yeah. All right. Well, that wraps us for this episode of RSBNB Update. Thank you for listening, everybody. If you want to have the podcast delivered automatically to you wherever you are, whenever it arrives, the best way to do that is to subscribe. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, Pocket Casts, Amazon, and more. Visit update.show/subscribe. And of course, we're also on YouTube at youtube.com/RSPNB. That's where we post the video versions and the nibbles each and every week. YouTube.com/RSPNB. Give us a like and subscribe there. Greatly helps the channel out. But with that being said, we'll be back next week for another episode of RSPNB Update. So see you then, everybody. Take care.
Ciao.
See ya.